We hear again from our gospel reading this morning in Matthew 16. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In the name of Jesus. In our gospel reading today, Jesus asks his disciples two questions. The first is concerning what people claim about who Jesus is. So he asks them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They answer him that according to Herod, who'd killed John the Baptist, and others, they think he's John the Baptist, back from the dead. Some believe he's Elijah, who's returned, since Elijah didn't die, but was taken into heaven on the fiery chariot. Others say that he's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. These answers aren't much different than what many have said throughout history and what many say or speculate about today. To be sure, people today have their opinions on everything, and this includes Jesus. There's never a shortage today of opinions, is there? There's theories and thoughts about anything on religion in general, but specifically, there are lots of things that people do say today about who Jesus is. Some say Jesus was a good moral teacher, someone who gave good ideas about rules, about living, loving your neighbor and the like. Those people say are good things. Some say Jesus was a prophet that we should listen to, but he's just like all the other great teachers we've had throughout history. Some would also answer that what we should do is we should just picture Jesus in our own personal way. In other words, let's make Jesus the way we want to make him, in our image. Others outright deny him and his existence, even though the stack of history, the overwhelming evidence on his historicity is unlike anyone who's ever lived. Well, this is the danger and the effects of sin that we see. The danger of running things, even good things, in the way of the law when they're given as gift, as Jesus is and was. So, when we run things this way, we turn to speculation, we turn to theory and ideas rather than revelation or receiving a gift. Jesus then asks the disciples another question. This one's much more pointed and personal. "Who do you say that I am?" Now Jesus gets to the heart of the matter, and what's most important for Peter, the disciples, and for us, knowing that we have no shortage of ideas around us about God or who Jesus is, the disciples are asked about what they personally confess about Jesus. So we can hear lots of things about Jesus. We can learn about the gospel or hear things generally about the Bible. We can study or hear these things and learn who Jesus claimed to be, what is claimed by those witnesses of his life and his ministry. But eventually, things have to go always from general to specific. From what is said by others and what they believe to what you believe. What do you confess? So Jesus goes from all people and what they believe to you specifically. This is where Jesus takes Peter and the disciples, and Peter gets the confession spot on. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah promised from the Old Testament. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. This is the one promised to defeat sin, death, and the devil from Genesis 3 forward. This is the promise given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and all of the world. He is the Son of the living God. Peter gets this confession right, and notice Jesus' response. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Anytime we hear Jesus or the scriptures say, blessed, we should always think salvation, forgiveness, the forgiveness of all sins, a sinner cleansed by God himself. That's what Jesus first tells Peter. Notice, however, that Jesus doesn't then praise Peter for his intellect or his ability to understand things. Peter was just a fisherman, just a regular guy. Not a schooled theologian, but Peter got it right about Jesus. He confessed the right things. And why did he get this confession right when others said things that were wrong? Was Peter just smarter or better than the other people? Jesus says it's because of a gift. The Father gave it to him. He revealed it. He showed Peter who Jesus was. This wasn't something good inside of Peter or his own religious piety. We have lots of Peter's failures and sin actually recorded all throughout Scripture, especially the Gospels. When he got mad and fought with the other disciples about being the greatest. When he begged to walk on water like Jesus and then failed, began to sink. But most glaringly, when he denies Jesus three times and even curses this one whom he now confesses is the Christ, Son of the living God. So for both Peter, the disciples, and for you, faith and confession of Jesus, Jesus as the Christ, the anointed one, the promised Messiah, the confession of this is a gift. It's not something you can just muster up. It's not something you can earn or accomplish. It's not something you do, but rather it's someone you are given. The name of this Jesus, who is the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is given to you in his word, through the means of his word spoken. It's given in the gospel. It's given in baptism. It's proclaimed to you as the absolution or the removal of all of your sins. It's not just some mantra like false religion teaches, but you are given the one who truly and actually died and rose in your place for your sins. Jesus, the Christ, Son of the living God. Because of his death for your sin is actually, really, truly removed. It's not yours. He's taken it from you. It's as far away from you, the psalmist says, as the east is from the west. That means it's gone. So now you're a cleansed sinner by gift, not because of something in you. He has done it. But then he goes on telling Peter, after his confession, I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the word translated here as hell, here in English, actually refers to Hades or Sheol. The Old Testament readers, the Jews would have known exactly what he was talking about. It's the place where the dead go. It's the place of death. But since Jesus is the risen Lord, he's overcome death, which he predicts in the text just following this gospel reading. So there's no power or place for you there with death. For you belong to life, not death. You belong to the living God. He has defeated death, your final enemy, and the final consequences of original sin through his resurrection for you. You have nothing to fear in death because Jesus is risen and risen indeed. So fear not, as the Gospels say, and as Jesus says to his disciples and to you. Finally, we hear from Jesus where he will be giving these gifts of salvation, victory over sin, death, Hades, hell itself. It will be through the gifts that are given and that he will give through the church. No matter the apparent outlook, doom and gloom in the world, the church is the place where the gifts of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are given. The keys, or the absolution that Jesus refers to here, means the delivery of Jesus' victory belongs to the church. Since the church is Christ's, and it's Christ's own, his own body, it's the place where he gathers you to his name, to the name by which all sin is forgiven. All is made right when you belong to the Lord who loves you and always gives you what he has won for you. It's the place where he has called a preacher to proclaim good news to you, to speak it so you hear it with your own ears. It's the place where all his victory over sin, death, and the devil is given to you, actually, truly, and really. So we, his people, look to his promise in his word and his sacrament. It's why we preach. It's why we read. It's why we sing. We're also given his holy supper, where he is truly present, his true body, his true blood, which feeds and sustains you and calls you in this life of faith through his body given unto death for your sins, and his blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all sin. You are his, and he is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.